Okay, let's unpack this. Picture a scenario that, I mean, it happens in almost every office, probably every single Friday at about 4:00 p.m.
Oh, I know this feeling.
You've just finished a massive project.
Yeah.
Maybe you figured out a workaround for some software bug that's been, plaguing the support team for
The
weeks.
classic subject matter expert dilemma. You have the gold, but it's stuck in the mind.
Right. Because to get it out of your head, what do you have to do? You have to open a Google Doc, write a tutorial, take screenshots, maybe record a video,
Then realize your mic wasn't on.
realize your mic was off, re-record it, edit out the part where you sneeze. And honestly, most of the time, you just look at the clock and think, I'll do it next week.
And next week never comes. We call this knowledge leakage. Companies are just drowning in undocumented features because the friction of sharing is just too high.
Exactly. And that is the specific bottleneck we are attacking today. We're looking at a stack of two specific tools cap and the Auto Content API that, well, they claim to turn that Friday afternoon brain dump into a global media empire, basically on autopilot.
And we really need to look at this not just as software, but as a supply chain. CAP is your extraction machinery. It gets the raw material
Right,
out.
I'm agree.
And
Yeah.
Auto Content API is the refinery. It processes that raw material into fuel for all these different engines.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
So let's start with the extraction. Let's talk about CAP. On the surface, it says it's an open source alternative to Loom. Now, Loom is the 800-pound gorilla here. Everyone knows Loom.
Sure.
Why does the world need another one? Is this just for people who hate paying subscriptions?
It's a bit deeper than that. It really comes down to two things: performance and sovereignty.
Sovereignty.
Loom is fantastic, but it's a closed ecosystem. Your data lives on their servers. CAP is interesting because it's built for developers or, the privacy-conscious
When you
enterprise.
say privacy conscious, are we talking tinfoil hats or actual business needs?
No, actual compliance requirements. If you're a bank or a law firm or a healthcare provider, you can't just upload a screen recording of patient data to a public cloud. That's a massive violation. CAP lets you bring your own storage. You can connect it to your own S3 bucket.
Okay, let's pause there. S3 bucket. I see this term thrown around all the time. For the non-engineers listening, what does that actually mean?
Think of it like a digital hard drive that lives in the cloud, usually Amazon Web Services, but you hold the keys.
Ah, okay.
So instead of CAP storing your video on their computer, the software is just a lens and the file goes directly into your private storage. CAP never even touches your data.
That is a huge distinction for any serious business. It's the difference between renting a storage unit and building a safe in your own basement.
Precisely. But beyond security, I was looking at the documentation and the users seem almost obsessed with the feel of it. One review described the UI as crispy.
Crispy. I saw that too. It's a great word for it.
It is. It's built with modern tech rest, Tori, TypeScript. So it's super lightweight. But for our purposes today, the feature that really matters is the recording quality. CAP has a studio mode that records locally at 4K and 60 frames per second.
But hold on. Why does 60 frames per second matter for a screen recording? I mean, we aren't making a Marvel movie here.
Yeah.
If I'm showing Dave in accounting how to use Excel, does he need it in 4K?
Dave might not need it, but the AI does.
Ah.
And this is crucial. Later, when we get to the Auto Content API, that AI needs to see what's happening on your screen to understand the context. If your video is blurry or laggy, the AI's ability to, interpret text or UI elements just drops.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. CAP provides that high-fidelity input signal. If the input is fuzzy, the transcription will have errors, the visual analysis will fail, it makes sure the seed is perfect.
Okay, so let's say I've done it. I recorded my video, I explained the bug fix, I used CAP, it looks beautiful, it's 4K. Usually, this is where the story ends.
Right.
I send the link to one person, they watch it, and the video just dies.
It becomes trapped value. It's a digital asset with a lifespan of 5 minutes and an audience of one.
So how do we break it out of jail? This brings us to the second piece of the puzzle, the Auto Content API.
And this is where things get a little wild. Auto Content calls itself a content transformation engine. It's an API, an application programming interface.
So it's designed for computers to talk to computers.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
infrastructure, not just a tool you click around in. It's a challenger to things like Google's Notebook LM, but built for enterprise scale. The premise is simple. You feed it a source, in our case, that CAP video, and it doesn't just transcribe it, It resynthesizes it.
Resynthesize. That sounds a little like marketing speak. What is it actually doing?
Well, it's using a combination of models. It uses transcription to read what you said, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's also multimodal. It uses vision models to look at what was on the screen. It combines those to understand the intent of your video.
The intent, not just the words.
Right. Then it reconstructs that information into completely different formats.
Okay, let's make this concrete. I want to walk through a specific scenario. Let's say I'm a product manager. We just launched dark mode for our app. I record a 3-minute cap video showing where the button is, how it looks. I have the file. I send it to Auto Content API. What's the first thing I can get back?
Let's start with the format that basically runs the internet right now. Short form, vertical video.
TikTok, yeah. Reels, YouTube Shorts. The dopamine factories?
Exactly. The API has an endpoint called Video Create Shorts. You send your horizontal screen recording. The API identifies the focal point of the screen where your mouse is moving and crops it to 9.16 vertical. But here's the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Screen recordings are boring to watch on TikTok. You need a face.
But I didn't record my face. I was in my pajamas. I explicitly do not want my face on the company TikTok.
Doesn't matter. The API can generate an AI avatar, a talking head, to introduce the video. They have a library of personas. Professional woman, casual tech guy, or you can even generate a custom one.
All right, I have to play devil's advocate. AI avatars usually look janky.
Yeah.
You know, the mouth moves weird, the eyes are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Is this stuff actually usable?
That's a fair critique. I mean, we aren't at Hollywood CGI level yet. If you put it on an IMAX screen, yeah, it looks fake.
Right.
However, for a 15-second TikTok update or a LinkedIn short viewed on a phone, the technology has crossed that uncanny valley threshold enough to be acceptable.
Hmm.
Especially because the avatar is usually small, in the corner, just acting as a narrator. It solves the faceless channel problem.
Which is that brands struggle to grow because they don't have a charismatic spokesperson available 24/7.
Precisely. It allows for headless content production. You're producing personality-driven content without the personality having to actually be in the room.
So my one cap video is now a TikTok with the presenter. What else?
Let's look at conversion. You want this video on your landing page, but a raw screen recording is usually rambling. You might say, click here. Wait for it to load. Oops, click the wrong window.
My recordings are just full of ums and ahs and breathing noises.
The API's explainer video transformation cleans that all up. It takes the visual feed, strips out your audio, writes a concise, punchy script based on what you meant to say, and then overlays a professional AI voiceover. It just cuts out all the dead air.
So it turns my rambling 3-minute demo into a tight 60-second commercial.
Yes. And because it's automated, you can do this for every single feature in your software. The documentation mentions that these videos can significantly reduce support tickets.
That makes perfect sense. If I can watch a 60-second polished video, I'm not going to email support. But the feature that really surprised me was the audio side, the podcast generation.
Ah, the audio revolution.
We've seen text-to-speech before, but this claims to generate a dialogue.
It's similar to what we're doing right now, actually. The API can analyze your dark mode demo and generate a two-person conversation between an AI host and an AI expert.
No way.
Yes. They discuss the feature. They explain why dark mode is better for your eyes. They might even make a joke.
That is meta and slightly terrifying.
It is. But think about the utility. You turn a visual update into an audio asset for Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You're capturing the commuter demographic.
And I saw a mention of voice cloning in the API docs.
Yes. This is where the CEO can scale themselves. The CEO records the cap video once. The API has a clone of their voice. The marketing team can then generate unlimited updates or messages in the CEO's voice without the CEO ever stepping into a recording booth again.
This brings up a massive issue, though.
Yeah.
We're talking about generating thousands of assets, blogs, videos, podcasts. There's a term in SEO called thin content.
Right. This is the danger zone.
If I just use this API to spam the internet with 5,000 blog posts that all say the same thing, Google's going to nuke my site, right? Because that sounds like spam.
Absolutely. And they should. Thin content is when a page adds no real value. But here's the nuance. The argument is that this stack actually solves the thin content problem through something they call programmatic SEO with proof.
With proof. What does that mean?
Okay. So imagine you want to rank for how to export data from your app. You could just have AI write a generic article. That's thin.
Right.
But with this stack, you have the cap video. You have the visual proof of the software actually doing the thing.
So the video anchors the content. It proves it's real.
Correct. The API generates a deep research article. It can browse the web to add context, stats, whatever, but it embeds that specific cap video and the generated podcast into the page.
Which increases dwell time.
Exactly. Dwell time is a huge ranking factor for Google. If a user lands on your page and immediately bounces, Google thinks the page sucks.
But if they stay to watch a video or listen to audio,
Google thinks this is valuable. You aren't just spamming text. You're creating a multimedia experience at scale.
There's another multiplier here we haven't touched on yet. Language.
The ultimate force multiplier. Cap records in whatever language you speak. Let's say English. Auto Content API supports over 50 languages.
So my dark mode demo can be automatically dubbed.
Dubbed, transcribed, and the blog post rewritten in Spanish, German, Japanese, Hindi. You are effectively multiplying your total addressable market, your TAM, by 5 or 10 times overnight.
Without hiring a localization team.
Which is traditionally so expensive and so slow, this can happen in minutes.
Okay, let's talk money. Because usually when someone says enterprise content transformation engine, I just hear a six-figure contract.
Yeah.
What are the economics here?
It's surprisingly accessible. Let's look at the old way. If you wanted to produce a professional podcast episode like this manually, you're paying for editing, mixing, conservatively, what, $150 to $500 an episode?
And a video team for those explainers. Thousands. Easily.
Now look at the stack. Cap Pro is about $8 a month per user. Or they have a lifetime license. It's the price of a sandwich.
Okay. And the API.
It operates on a credit model. So to generate a podcast episode costs anywhere from, say, 10 to 200 credits in real money. We're talking pennies to a few dollars per asset. A produced video with an avatar is roughly €4.
€4. To replace a freelancer that costs $300.
The economics are completely inverted. And this leads to this concept of hyperscalability. In the old model, 10 times more content meant 10 times more money in people.
Right.
Here, the cost curve just flattens out. You can move from a weekly publishing schedule to an hourly one.
But, and there's always a, but how hard is this to actually set up? You said it's an API. Does that mean I need to be a Python developer to use it?
You don't, but you do need to be comfortable with no-code automation. Auto Content is API first. It's designed to plug into tools like Make.com or Zapier.
The plumbing of the internet.
Exactly. So you aren't manually uploading files every time. You build a workflow. Let's visualize a reaction loop.
Walk me through it.
Step one. Breaking news happens in your industry. You open Cap. You record a two-minute reaction. Step two. You paste that Cap link into a specific Slack channel. That is the only human action.
I paste a link. That's it.
That's it. Make.com is watching that Slack channel. It grabs the link, sends it to Auto Content API. The API processes it. It generates a Twitter thread, a LinkedIn post, a blog article, and a vertical video. It then sends those back to your social media scheduler and queues them up.
So I go get a coffee, and by the time I come back, my two-minute thought has been distributed to four different platforms.
Correct. The marketing team stops being creators and starts being conductors. They design the machine that makes the content rather than making the content themselves.
That's a fundamental shift. It sounds incredibly efficient, but I have to ask the uncomfortable question. If everyone does this, doesn't the internet just become a noisy echo chamber?
That is the risk. We are absolutely entering an era of content saturation.
If I can produce 100 assets a day, and my competitor can produce 100 assets a day,
then the winner isn't the one with the most content, it's the one with the best source material. And this brings us full circle back to Cap.
The human element.
Yes. The API is just a multiplier. If you multiply zero, you still get zero. The alpha, the value, is in that initial recording. The insight, the specialized knowledge, the personality, that has to come from the human.
So creativity isn't dying. The manual labor of formatting that creativity is dying.
That's the optimistic view. The pessimistic view is the dead internet theory, that we're building a web where AI agents write content for other AI agents to read, and humans are just bystanders.
We're just the biological bootloaders for the digital ecosystem.
Maybe. But until the robots take over completely, there is a massive competitive advantage for the businesses that figure this out first.
It's about mental availability. Just being present in more places than your competition.
Exactly. If you're everywhere, you appear larger than you actually are. This stack allows a one-person consultant to have the media footprint of a 50-person agency.
So to wrap this up, we have Cap for the high-fidelity input, we have Auto Content API for the industrial-grade output, and we have that automation layer gluing it all together.
The barrier to entry for building a media empire has never, ever been lower. The tools are just sitting right there.
It seems like the only excuse left is that you don't have anything interesting to say.
And if that's the case, no API in the world can save you.
On that note, Thanks for deep diving with us. Go record something and let the machines handle the rest. See you next time.